Hey there, everybody. Welcome to LSAT Demon Daily. I'm Brandon Beaver. I'm a teacher and tutor here with the Demon, and I'm joined today by one of our master tutors, Sarah Kamuni. We are here today to talk about some international transcript stuff from a mail-in question from a listener. How you doing, Sarah?
I am doing great, thank you. I don't think I've ever been introduced as one of the master tutors before, so that was great for the ego. Thank you very much. But no, it's really exciting to be here. And yeah, like for reference, everyone, like the master tutor thing comes about when you've just been like here for a really long time. So time has flown by. I can't believe it's been like, this is like, I'm coming, I think actually this week is my second year anniversary with the Demon. So that's very exciting and a testament to how much fun it is working at LSAT Demon. So yeah, thanks for having me, Brandon. How are you doing?
Absolutely. I'm doing great. It's great to have you here and it's great to cover this topic. Hopefully we can bring some value to one of our listeners today and one of our Demon students. But we might as well go ahead and get into it. I'll start by reading this submission's questions. And I know, Sarah, you being an international applicant, you had some experience in this area. So hopefully we can help this person out. But they write, hey, guys, my degree granting institution was abroad, meaning non-US based, non-Canada based. And I finally got them to send my transcripts, only to find out LSAC does a JD foreign CAS evaluation. CAS here is referring to the Credential Assembly Service. Many current JD applicants and LSAT studiers will be familiar with CAS. It's how you get your transcripts submitted. And this listener is saying that they do a JD foreign CAS evaluation, which does not contribute to an UGPA, an undergraduate GPA, kind of one of those LSAT jargony things we'll hear about out there. So their questions are, one, how would they use LSAT Demon's scholarship calculator if they don't have a UGPA? So I think we'll start there, Sara. You can kind of give your pointers on that particular point and then maybe tell a little bit of your experience with LSAC's international calculation.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think like, the hard answer is that it's very difficult as an international applicant who doesn't have that numerical GPA that you see in like the US context to get like, you know, good quality data about what your outcomes might be like. For that reason, it's so important to just put everything you have into the LSAT. It's not that you're trying to, you know, mitigate anything. Like there's nothing wrong with having having an undergraduate degree that doesn't have a GPA. It just means that schools aren't treating it the same way. They're not using it as part of the calculations for their medians and so on. So it's just, you know, it's just kind of, it's there, right? So I guess as background, if you don't have a numerical GPA, what ends up happening is you request your transcripts from your school. It's usually that you have to ask, you know, have to fill out this transcript request form and have them mail it. Allow a lot of time for this, to be honest, like way more than you think you need. Cause I was doing it during COVID, the initial COVID lockdown situation, which obviously just made it that much more tricky. But yeah, like my transcripts never changed. Like I could have done it like several months earlier. I just didn't think to until I was really thinking about applying. But yeah, getting those transcripts in by mail or like however it's going to work out is a really important thing to do. And once LSAC has that transcript, what they're going to do is they're going to send it to, I believe it's like a third party assessor that they use. And that assessor is going to basically produce almost like an annotation to your transcript, to your grades, that puts them in, I guess sort of interprets them, I think is a fair way of saying it. And give some context to how these grades are calculated, like the grading scale that's being used. And eventually at the end, it spits out you could call it a rating maybe. So they have superior, above average, below average. And I think there might be a fourth one actually. That's really, but I'm trying to think.
Just average, maybe?
Maybe just average. That actually that sounds about right. But yeah, hopefully we would be like in the superior above average area, and you can kind of predict where it's going to come out as well, just based on, obviously if you have like, for example, me, like I know how the British grading system works. Like I have a vague understanding of like what's an A in the US and like what's an A in the UK. Like I know that Americans, like study abroad students who come to the UK are often horrified because like, they get A's that are like 90 plus percentage points, and it's like amazing. And then you come to the UK and they're getting like a 70, which is heartbreaking in the US, incredible in the UK. Like if you get a 70, like that's a job well done. Like if you get a 60, like you're doing really good. Like, and so it just doesn't translate that well. But if you have kind of an understanding of what means what in both contexts, then you can kind of guess where your rating is going to come out. And then it's that rating that actually goes to the school. So like, how's it, they can't like generate some type of number from like above average or superior. Like it is what it is. It's kind of more just, well, I mean, I assume what they're looking at is, well, like if you got below average, for example, like that's obviously something that they want to keep in mind when they're thinking about the admissions process, but there's not really much more they can do with that. So that's kind of what that looks like. Unfortunately, like that means that when you have a calculator, like the Demon Scholarship Calculator, like there's other resources out there as well that ask you to plug your data in and then generate, you know, results based on what other people have experienced, as the Demon Calculator does, like there just isn't that much data out there. And so that's one of the tricky things. So what I used to do is I would just focus on the LSAT, right? I was like, okay, like I can't create a number out of nowhere. Like maybe I can try and guess more or less like how my, I feel like I definitely plugged like a few like 3.7s, like 3.75s, like into scholarship calculators, just because I was just guessing, right? Like I was just trying to see like what people in that region were guessing in terms of scholarships, more out of, I guess, curiosity than anything. And yeah, it became pretty obvious pretty quickly that I just needed to be getting my LSAT score as high as possible just to make sure that I was going to get scholarship money, even if I couldn't quite predict what was going to happen because I just didn't have that information. It's not the best answer. I think it'd be really cool, like if at the Demon we could encourage folks who are using the Demon. I know we have a lot of international students out there, like encourage folks to be submitting their information, their knowledge, just to kind of add that feature to the calculator. I think that would be really, really valuable. But yeah, it's a smaller group of applicants. There's less information out there, so slightly more uncertainty. But hey, if you crush the LSAT, like you're going to be fine. I think that's always the answer, right? Like if you really just put everything into the LSAT and get the best score that you can and give yourself enough time to do that, then not having a numerical GPA, well, maybe like if a school is like really, really for some reason focusing on the GPAs that year and really is trying to force like every little like shred of GPA they can get, then maybe it would affect you in some way. But otherwise, if you get the best LSAT score you can do, that's going to probably set you up for at least some success, right?
Yeah. And if nothing else, the better the LSAT score, regardless of who you are as an applicant, where you're coming from, you're going to be setting yourself up for your best admissions and scholarship opportunities regardless. So sage advice across the board. That does bring up one kind of curious question. Just as a domestic student, I'm curious. So how did that work for addenda for you? I mean, did you end up writing any GPA addendum for any of your applications or anything like that?
No, I didn't, just because that's like the document that is produced while doing the transcript evaluation kind of functions in the same way, right? Mm. Like for those instances where I got a grade in a class that was like in the low 60s, like the grading scale that they put next to that on the report that they produced kind of put that in context. Like it's not like a 60 in the US sense, it's like a B, like, that's fine. So I didn't personally write any, just because it was kind of doing that for me, if that makes sense. Like I didn't really need to do that. Like it was very obvious from my transcript that I was from my application overall that I was an international applicant. Like I didn't feel the need to provide any more context than the service that LSAC was producing was going to provide. So yeah, having said that, like there may be, everybody's an individual if there's a compelling reason to write a GPA addendum or like a non-GPA addendum in this case, then by all means do it. But I didn't feel the need to. Yeah. And I have an undergraduate and a master's degree from the UK. So very international transcript heavy application on my part.
Well, there you have it, folks. Not necessarily any need to write a GPA addendum if you are, in fact, an international applicant. Interesting. So let's carry on with our students' questions here. They say also that I went to a university in the US for like a year and a half out of high school, and I didn't do well. Okay. Ended up leaving, and I've had that transcript sent to LSAC. Do I not have to worry about how badly I did at this university weighing against me if I don't actually have a UGPA? For a long time, I have been worried about how shitty my UGPA will be with my grades from right out of high school, weighing down my later good grades received at my degree-granting institution. I think probably a pretty reasonable worry, but what do you have to say about that, Sarah?
Yeah, it's a tricky question because, I mean, we definitely encounter students frequently who maybe started out in one school and got grades at that school and then transferred or took a break and ended up being granted their degree, you know, separately. And then, but then those still older grades are kind of pulling down the GPA. Like, that's a situation we see quite a lot. I'm not quite sure actually how it would work in with the undergraduate degree coming from a different country without that GPA to be pulled down, if that makes sense. Like, the closest thing I can think is I was super fortunate to spend a semester in the United States while I was in college. And I had to submit that, even it was a semester long transcript, so not a year and a half, like this is a bit longer, but it, that semester long transcript I did submit to LSAC, and I got kind of, I mean, I got an academic, what's it called, an academic summary report or something like that, mm-hmm. that reflected those grades. I, as far as I know, they weren't factored into, like schools didn't take that semester GPA and then report that on their 509. Like, I was still reported as somebody with like a with a foreign GPA, a foreign undergraduate degree. But this situation feels a little bit distinct, which makes me reluctant to really say anything like confidently. It's, I mean, my sense would be to give LSAC a call and ask, you know, ask for more clarity on that. It's an interesting issue. It's but it's one that I definitely can't speak on with any authority, I don't think. I will say another thing, like maybe that's a situation to write a GPA addendum, right? Like, if there's a situation where you went to college for a bit and things didn't go so well, and then you performed really well on your future endeavors, like in college, and there's some separation between that, that feels to me like a potential compelling GPA addendum. I don't know what you think, Brandon, but that's my sense.
Yeah, I would agree. Neither of us being admissions officers, nor are we LSAC employees. It's hard for us to say precisely what they're going to do there. Right. It's interesting. Our student did mention that they've submitted these transcripts. I know as a, you know, an upcoming cycle applicant that as soon as CAS got my stuff, I knew right away, right there, what the calculation was. So I would imagine if it's going to affect, you know, if it's going to have an impact on the application or equate to a reportable UGPA in some sense, this student would probably have seen it there. However, it's hard to say, right? If the degree granting institution is completely separate, if the credits didn't account or contribute at all to their undergraduate degree, not, honestly not sure. And I don't know how much value we're going to bring them by pooling ignorance. It definitely sounds like a great reason to give them a call and find out, you know, more specifically, what should I expect my record to look like? And I think that's going to put them in the driver's seat to know how to know how to best address it, if at all. You know, if there is a reason to write an addendum, LSAC's probably going to be able to at least key in on whether or not those grades are going to affect you. And if they do, perhaps that's a reason to, you know, put pen to paper and start explaining yourself a little bit. But as always, you know, keep it brief, stick to the facts. You're not there to write a sob story. Yeah, that's kind of how I feel about it.
Yeah, no, I think that's excellent advice. And I guess the only other piece of advice I would add to that is if you're going to call LSAC, get on the phone at like 8:29 a.m. Like, be on hold for a really long time. Try and make sure you don't call them on school release day. Those are two pieces of advice for calling LSAC that usually hold pretty well.
There you go.
Yeah, I completely agree, Brandon. That's it's, and I think people, I mean, just as a general matter, right? Like, I don't think people should be afraid to pick up the phone and give LSAC a call when they come up against these things. I spent a long time on the phone with LSAC myself while I was applying to school, and it's definitely a time sink. But once, like I say, once you figure out the best time of day to call, like, it can be the best way to just kind of get things cleared up and get rid of some of that uncertainty, which characterizes this entire application experience. But if we can find ways to mitigate it, like, that's going to really help you in the long run. Man, I feel like I'm still recovering from the law school application process, to be honest.
Well, speaking of LSAC, just kind of as a, you know, a bookend here on our conversation today, How long did it take for your transcript process to go through with them? You mentioned it being at the height of COVID. You mentioned, you know, you had kind of a unique situation. So what should our, you know, our potential listeners who are international applicants, how much time do you think they should be allotting?
Yeah, I think the first thing to say is that, I think my experience was definitely abnormal in that I first requested my transcripts in about July, I think, is when I started working on them, which I don't think was a good idea. I should have done that, started doing that earlier. But I didn't get one of my transcripts. What ended up happening was my school provided a PDF version, which usually they have to mail a hard copy, but they just weren't producing them. It was a whole thing. And there was actually a problem with one of the transcripts that they sent me. A piece of information that was required wasn't on it. And unfortunately, I wasn't notified about that. So there was a few weeks longer between me kind of figuring out that I'd actually been waiting too long and I needed to follow up. So, I mean, that's on me as well, right? I would definitely encourage international applicants to be giving LSAC a call every couple of weeks just to kind of see how things are ticking along. So yeah, it took a couple of months, maybe 2 or 3 months in the end for me. I don't think it should take that long. I think if you haven't had any notifications within a couple of weeks of knowing that it was received, because you can see when it was received and then there's the processing, I would say give them a week, 2 weeks, and then be calling to follow up to make sure everything's okay. Because that was, it was, again, when I was going through it, it was, LSAC was responding to the pandemic and adjusting their processes and workflows. At the same time, institutions were doing the same thing. LSAC was still kind of formulating what would be an appropriate document to send versus the things it couldn't accept. So everybody was just kind of doing the best that they could in that scenario. But yeah, I would be recommending every week or a couple of weeks, just be following up with the process to make sure that everything is ticking over how it should be. Because yeah, that was probably the biggest stressor of my entire law school application process. Actually, that's too much. That's too big of a statement. Probably the waiting was the hardest part after that. But yeah, definitely it's one of those things that I think you can, if you think about it early, you can knock it out really easily. And then if anything comes up, you can solve it more easily. But for me, I made the process very stressful for myself, I think.
Awesome. Well, so it sounds like, as in all things that you'll hear with the demon, work on it early and then, you know, do lawyer stuff and follow up. Get in there and follow up.
And awesome. don't be afraid to follow up. This is, this is really important for you, right? This is your law school application. You should definitely feel empowered to call people up and advocate for yourself and get it over the line. Cause yeah, it's really important. And it's, yeah, I feel like definitely that was you're not bothering anyone, I guess is what I'm trying to say. If you're calling and checking in on things.
Absolutely. Well, thanks so much for your time today, Sara. I think we're going to go ahead and wrap it up. For those listening, we're going to make sure that we include a link today in our show notes to a couple of useful resources for international applicants straight off LSAC's website. That being said, email daily at lsatdemon.com if you'd like to ask us a question or if you want to share some LSAT or law school admissions news. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, everyone.